Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
I'm Debbie Rowley. Happy New Year.
Yes, Happy New Year to you too. And you're listening to the midweek version of Fiber Talk, the twice weekly podcast for the needlework artist. Debbie, we've been not talked for a while again.
I know.
Yes.
I had a medical issue the last time we were scheduled to talk and just could not manage it. So Anyway, I'm all better.
Well, that's good. Well, Vonna covered you, so we were good.
Yes, and I appreciate it. Be sure and say thank you.
I'll do that. Yep. All right, we have a truckload of things to talk about, housekeeping type things to talk about so that people are aware.
Okay, get through them.
And it's a list. So the first thing is all kinds of effort, particularly in the cross-stitch community, to help out Australian needleworkers and just Australia in general. And one of the things that's on the table, and I'll put a link to download this chart, is Kim at Sassy Jack's, Allie Dudley, who works with Kim at Sassy Jack's and reproduces under Sassafras Samplers and will be our guest in 2 weeks, has put together a little design called Aussie Friends. And it's just a little 52 by 52 stitch, cross-stitch design that has the Sassy Jack Squirrel and acorns, a koala eucalyptus branch, and some flora and fauna from native Australia. A cute little design, fit in a four-inch tart tin or shaker box or something like that, but a cute little design. So what Kim has said is, here's the chart, and if you finish the stitching on that before February 29 and post it on Instagram or Facebook or simply email a picture to sassyjackstitchery@gmail.com, but more fun to post it on Instagram or Facebook and tag Sassy Jack Stitchery, then Kim will make a contribution, a monetary contribution, to a charity of some type in Australia to help out with the firefighting effort and the aftermath. So a fun thing to do, a simple little thing. It's not going to take you long to stitch it. And you can go to the Sassy Jack's Facebook page and download the PDF there. And I'll put a link for this show on the page at wetalkfiber.com, so you can download the PDF there. But all free, just something fun to stitch, cute little design, and then post it, tag Sassy Jack Stitchery, and Kim will make a contribution on your behalf. So that's a neat thing. And then another thing that I ran across, and you'll have to do some searching for this because I didn't do the work, but I follow a lady named Isabella Pitcher. And her business is Prior Attire. And follow her on Instagram. Worth following because her specialty is old clothing. She makes dresses, those big, huge dresses with the big cages underneath and the padding on the rear end and the corsets and all that stuff. She makes all of that stuff. It's amazing to watch her work. And incredible seamstress and designs and has books and the whole bit. She's a fascinating thing. I just enjoy watching her work. And she'll make for her husband, she makes men's like Georgian and Edwardian style clothing, jackets and those pants that go just below the knee and all that stuff. And she has a friend who makes hats, Sherry the Hatter. And Sherry the Hatter often will make hats for these costumes or these dresses that Isabella puts together. But anyway, she's worth following. But what she was doing the other day was making pouches and for marsupials. And so she was making pouches for little baby kangaroos and koala bears and so on and so forth. And then she was also making a roll-up thing for bats. And shipping them over to Australia. So if you do some research, if you have a bunch of cloth laying around that you're not using is just kind of in the way. That's what she was doing from all of her seamstress work, was using up a bunch of scraps. And so she has, was putting together a whole bunch of those. So do some work there if you're interested. They look like they were pretty simple to make. And another way to help out in Australia, help all the people who are working to save the animals, and especially, you know, obviously there's so many koala bears that we've seen that have been burnt, and little baby kangaroos and so on and so forth. So that's another way to help out. And but if you search for animal pouches or something Australia, I'm sure you'll come up with directions. She said there were specific directions for what sizes to make and how to make them. But that's another way. And of course, there's thousands of ways now as the world is really getting a grip on the magnitude of this fire situation, all kinds of ways to help out. And so those are two. So Sassy Jack Stitchery, and I'll put a link so that you can download that chart and stitch it, and then Kim will make a contribution.
Hey, do you know if Inspirations Magazine is planning any kind of an effort?
That I have not heard. That's a good question. That's worth looking up. Yes. I have not heard if they would. I would think so.
Well, you know, being the consummate professional that I am, I didn't, you know, it just now occurred to me, instead of looking it up in advance to find out if they are planning to do anything, but they are an Australian magazine.
Right.
So.
No, that's good. Yeah. Yeah. We leave that looking up and planning ahead. We leave that to the pros. Just, we just get on and start talking and fake it. Yeah. That's how that works.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
No, I would think that they would be doing something. That's worth checking into. I'll do that. Yep. I will do that for the next time.
Okie doke.
Now, call your attention to, we're putting together, Fiber Talk is putting together, we're in the early stages. What we're trying to do is assemble as many Nashville market designs as we can on our site. So we've invited designers who are exhibiting at the Nashville market to share their designs with us, and we're going to put them all in one place at WeTalkFiber.com. And if this works out, we'll have a large collection of designs that stitchers can go to one place and see all the things that are going to be introduced, and then do your pre-ordering with your local shop. And one of the designers is Glendon Place. And she does an interesting thing. She has a design that she makes available. It's a limited edition design. She makes it available for order. And the order deadline that she has published is 1/10, so is this Friday. But she has extended it to the 14th. So you can order this design. It's called Witch, W-I-T-C-H. And that does not stand for witch, but it stands for woman in total control here. But it is a woman, or a witch, a design, and it has that distinctive Glendon Place style to it. And this is a limited edition thing, so you have to get to your needlework shop and order it by the 14th, by Monday the 14th, or if you don't have a shop, you can order from Glendon Place, and again by the 14th. And then she does that, and then that's it. You can't get them otherwise. So the orders now, because she does it with kits. They're all kits. And so she needs to be able to order the kits so she can ship them. And then if you order directly from her, the kit will ship after the Nashville market. And if you order from your local store, then I'm sure it'll be the same case, where it'll be after the Nashville market that you'll get your kit. So this Witch design, which stands for Women in Total Control here, is a chart, 164 by 188 is the stitch size. And then you can either get it in Regency Cashel Linen or Regency Ada by Picture This Plus. And it comes, I won't list all the threads, but anyway, the kit, the linen kit is $60 plus $7.25 for priority mailing if you order it from Glendon Place. And the Ada kit is $55 plus $7.25 for mailing. And then you have to prepay. So if you order from Glendon Place, then you prepay and your shop is a different thing. It's however you work it out with your shop, however they handle orders. But you have to order by the end of the day on Monday, the 14th of January, to get in on this. And then that's it. There's no more ordering, no more orders taken, because she orders these kits and puts them together so that people will have them after the Nashville market. And this is just one. She said she had five other designs she'll be introducing at the show. But every year she does one ahead of time. And this witch design is the one for this this year. So if you're interested in that, I'll put, obviously, links. You can go to glendonplace.net, GlendonPlace.net. And I'm sure she has links there to order. But this is it. You order now or that's it. She doesn't allow any more after the 14th. So if you're interested in that special design, that one-time offer, check it out with your local store before Monday or directly from Glendon Place. And I'll put a picture somewhere on the site for today's episode and on the FlossTube video so you can see that design. And then, continuing on, we'll have a Friday Night Live. Vaughn and I will be doing the Friday Night Live show again this Friday. Well, it's going to be every Friday. But this Friday at 8 o'clock Eastern. And this time, I'm still in Arizona, but I will not be at the attic. But what I have done is I have raided the attic. Well, actually, Gene helped me out. But what we did
No doubt.
Yeah. Gene, do this for me. What we've done is we've put together a collection of obscure charts, charts you may not have seen, charts you don't know about anymore, likely some older ones. So that's what we're going to talk about Friday night. Vaughn and I are going to talk about these, I'm calling them obscure charts, but charts that you may not know about, maybe that were popular at one time and are forgotten, that kind of thing. So Gene and I are going to put together some of those. So we'll talk about those Friday night. So on our YouTube channel at 8 o'clock Eastern, and then whatever time zone fits you, from 8 o'clock Eastern, Vaughn and I will be talking about that, and then, of course, other things. So join us. Join us Friday night. We have a lot of fun. Had almost 400 people last Friday. It was really exciting. And,
wow.
That was our sixth Friday Night Live show. So we've gone from scratch to 400 people during the show, and we have a lot of fun with it. So that'll be our focus on Friday night. So, bring your pen, paper, and credit card. You'll need them. And then for us guys, on the 15th, at the attic in Mesa, Arizona, 6 to 9 o'clock, men's night at the attic. We already have a nice handful of guys who are going to show up for men's stitching night at the attic, 6 to 9, January 15. So if you're in the Mesa area or going to be next week, contact Gene at the attic and get your name on the list so that we know you're coming. But it's going to be fun. It was just kind of one of those things. Hey, let's give it a whirl, Gene, and see what happens. And by golly, we have one guy. She said one guy and his wife are driving from some distance and staying overnight to participate. So that'll be fun.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Just us guys at the needlework. Yep.
Sounds like fun.
Hey, why not? Yep. Let's see. What else do we have here? Yes. This is where Debbie comes in. So on July 5, Vanna's 50th birthday, July 5, we're going to start stitching Debbie's Royal Garden design. And going to be sponsored by Sassy Jack Stitchery. And Kim is already in the process of putting together kits. So she will have kits for the Royal Garden design. These will be kits as Debbie spec'd the threads and the canvas. So that's what Kim will put together. I don't know pricing. I don't know anything yet other than Kim is sponsoring it and says she would do it. And she's going to stitch it with us. So we invite anyone else to join us stitching Debbie's Royal Garden. And then, of course, with all of Debbie's things, you don't have to stick to the colors. You can do your own set of colors. But Kim will be putting together kits for you to make it easy to offer at Sassy Jack's. And Debbie, this one, It's been a few years since you released it, hasn't it? Three, four?
Yeah, 3 or 4 years. I'm not sure exactly. Maybe five. I'm not sure exactly.
Could be,
I wanted to point out, I know that we have a large audience of people from a cross stitch background, and I would just like to remind our listeners that I came from a cross stitch background.
Yes.
All I did was cross stitch for some time until I discovered canvas, counted canvas work. And then I was like, wow. So, you know, you don't have to have, I try to write my charts so that someone who has never, ever done anything like this can do it with, I mean, the diagrams and the instructions are quite extensive. And if we want to do, I don't have stitch video demonstrations for this particular chart, but that doesn't mean that there couldn't be in the future should the need become apparent. And so, you know, I'll be happy to do whatever I can to assist people, especially someone who wants to, okay, well, let me give this a try and see if I can do this. I can assure you can do this.
Yep. Yeah, I can assure you that too. Yeah, that was one of Anna's first questions. How can I do a Jessica stitch? I don't know. Debbie's instructions are clear as day. If you can follow them quite easily and get the job done, yes. And we do have Debbie as a resource. Yep, we'll lean on you.
Absolutely, I'm available. Well, and it's not just for Fiber Talk, but I'm available to anybody who emails me and says I'm having trouble, or I need further clarification, or a different diagram, or whatever. And I'm happy to help.
Yep.
I want you to be successful.
Yeah, well, and I mean, that's always the case with you. That's what's makes it easy to approach these things. I remember when you were going to release that, and you were trying to come up with a name for it, because that's your specialty, is naming your designs, I know.
yeah, right.
You're horrible at it. Okay.
Yeah, it's my least favorite thing to do. Sometimes I know the name right off before I ever get started, and sometimes I get it all designed and stitched and still don't know a good name for it. So, no, for this one, I sent an email, and I had a contest from people on my email list, and Royal Garden was the winning name. And the person that came up with it got a free chart.
Yep, I remember that. There were lots of names, and lots of suggestions.
Lots of suggestions.
Yeah. Where did this design come from? What was there a specific inspiration or?
No.
Thanks, Debbie.
No, just stitches that I like and colors that I like. And so, no.
Just came together. That's excellent, Debbie.
I would love to be able to tell you that, I was strolling through a lovely English garden and I was so inspired by the colors and the shapes and none of that.
Go with that. That's,
okay. Does that sound better?
Yeah, that sells charts, Debbie. There.
Stitches that I like and a shape that I liked. So.
And this is one of your this is one of your bigger designs. What, this is 12 or 14?
It's fairly large. Yeah, I think it's 12 inches square.
Yeah.
The finished design. It may just be 10 inches square. Short of, I'm currently sitting in my recliner with my computer on my lap, and short of getting up and rustling through several boxes, I couldn't tell you.
That's quite all right. It is one of your larger designs. It's not a 4x4.
It is one of the larger designs. Yeah. I know it's not 8x8. Right. Most of my designing that I'm doing lately is 8x8 and 6x6.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, no, this is one of your larger ones. Yeah, it's one of my favorites, which is why I already had it kitted up. So.
Well, thank you.
Yep. So we're going to stretch Vanna a little bit, get her doing some.
She's probably never worked with neon rays before.
Oh, that's a good question. I don't think she has. Yeah. Yeah,
or silk lame braid.
Yeah, that'll neon rays. That'll test her. Yeah. Okay.
Well, when you come to that, I'll be happy to share tips with you, because I tame that stuff. It's one of my favorites, and I use it quite a bit, and it never gives me any problems. And I know it gives other people a lot of problems, but
Yeah, I think we'll let Vanna fight with it for a couple of weeks before help comes to the rescue.
Oh, No, I don't see that. This is the thing. I never want someone to be frustrated when they're doing one of my designs. I always want them to go, you know, this is easy and this is fun. And look how much I got stitched for an hour and I got 4 inches of the canvas covered, you know. And so, yeah.
No, I think we're going to let Lana fight with it a little bit just for the entertainment purposes. Yeah.
No, well, you're the muse that probably pulled wings off of insects too, but.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think we might just do that. I'm feeling a little evil today. I think we'll just let Vanna just struggle with that for a little bit and then say, Vanna, if you just do it this way,
No, I think I may send Vanna an email and say, don't let Gary lead you astray.
Yeah. Thanks, Debbie. Yeah. We'll still have fun. So, the 5th of July is when we're going to start doing that. So if you're interested, contact Kim at Sassy Jacks and Debbie's Royal Garden. And Debbie's design website, you'll see the chart there, the design there. It's pretty spectacular. Like I said, one of my favorites. So,
Well, and for the purple people, it's purple.
Yes, very. And what's the background? So, it's not a white canvas.
I think it's sage green. I'm not sure. Like I said, short of getting up and going and looking, I think it's sage green.
Yeah, I think you're right. Sage green sounds right. Yes. I know I have a piece rolled up. Yep. But, one of my favorites. Yep. So.
Oh, speaking of rolled canvas, I was in Walmart the other day and I saw somebody with one of those gift wrap things, tubs to put gift wrap in, and we had discussed this earlier.
Oh yes,
that's how I store my canvas. Now is the time to go get these things.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They're clearing out, huh?
Well, they, you know, I don't know if they have them other times of the year. I know that they have them now, and so for those of you who are looking for a way to store your rolled canvas or even your fabric, if you like to roll your fabric around a tube, like I know you do.
Yep.
This is a great way to store it because all these little tubes will just stand up in the gift wrap container. The lid will keep it dust free and they'll be perfect for when you're ready to use them.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because I'd forgotten that was one of your little tricks. So, and it's a wrapping tube.
It's a gift wrap container. The bottom of it is red. The top of it is clear. They have them in two different sizes. I have both sizes. But an uncut 40-inch roll goes in the larger size.
Okay. Well, that'd be good because somebody was cleaning up their stitching room the other day and showing pictures. And yeah, they could have used one of those. Mm-hmm. I know I could use one. Yep. Okay. On the list. I've forgotten about
that.
Now's
the time. Go get them.
I'd forgotten. Okay. There we have it. So that's coming up in July. So check out at Sassy Jacks if you're interested in joining us. Kim's going to stitch with us. Debbie is not going to stitch with us because she already stitched it and she doesn't want to stitch it again. So.
Absolutely.
Once is enough. Yep.
Once is enough.
So that's, let's see, what else do we have here? I think that's all the housekeeping things. Yep. I think it is. We had a column. I want to have a conversation with you about this because I think it's an interesting topic.
I do too.
Yeah, there was a column in the A&G Needle Pointers, what became the October, November, December issue, as they combine issues trying to get on track, from the president. And she was talking about declining membership, A&G membership, and what to do about it. And her suggestion was to encourage people to bring a friend to your local chapter meeting. And my reaction to that was, yeah, good idea, but I don't think I'm not convinced that's the problem of declining membership. And so, yeah, I want to have a conversation with you about that. Because, you know, bringing a friend is one thing, But, you know, I look at, and of course, doing these podcasts, I get to see all sides of the needlework world.
Right.
And in the cross stitch end and the embroidery end, these days there's just tremendous activity. Absolutely tremendous activity. And I think there is good activity in the needlepoint end.
There is.
Yeah. So help me out there.
Okay. So, you know, there's the Facebook page, Needlepoint Nation, that's got, I think, what, 16,000 members now?
Yes. It's huge.
And so, you know, that's a substantial number. We've got, you know, Jane from Chili Hollow. I read her blog every day, and she has just in the last 2 or 3 weeks mentioned several new stores opening.
Well, that's good.
That's always good news.
Yes.
And so I'm gonna veer off just a little bit, but it relates. So be patient with
okay.
me.
Okay, I'm along for the ride.
A few decades ago, there was a Bible study called Experiencing God. And one of the points that they made in this Bible study, did you do this one?
No.
Okay. No. One of the points that they made in this Bible study was that God is already at work. Our job is to find out where he is already at work and join him there. Okay. People are needlepointing. We've got new designers painting. We've got new designers designing. We've got people stitching. They're just not doing it through A&G.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that the onus is on A&G to find out where they're working and join them. Not make them join us, but join them. Because, you know, my daughter is a millennial, and my daughter-in-law, neither one of them belong to any organizations that I'm aware of. And my daughter has told me that people her age don't want to join things.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, I get that. People their age, they're busy with kids and soccer and blah, blah, and the money's tight and all this other kind of stuff. They're still doing their things. They go to Hobby Lobby. They go to Michael's. They go to Joann's. They buy craft stuff. They're crafting and they're doing things. But they don't want to do it under a formal organization. And I think this is where A&G needs to figure out how to come alongside them and encourage them without saying, oh, you have to join A&G.
Yeah. Well, see, that, you know, that's interesting perspective, because I see that, you know, I see shops all over the place having activities with painted canvas. And then you and all of your colleagues in the charted canvas are all over the country teaching classes all the time.
Yes, yes.
I mean, you stay quite busy doing that. So there is clear activity.
Yes.
Strong activity. And it's been sustained. It's not just a flash in the pan thing. Yeah.
Well, and there's, you know, there's also, I'm sure that you've heard of this because I know how connected you are, stitch clubs.
Yes.
There are stitch clubs literally everywhere. All you have to do is go on Insta and find them. And, you know, chances are there's one or two in your community. They are not under any formal kind of organization. But it's just people who get together and stitch.
Yep.
They are all working on different things. They're all doing different things. They're just getting together and stitching. And, you know, A&G, I think, should be, I don't want to use the word infiltrating, but our members should be finding the stitch clubs and stitching with them and letting them know, oh, you know, if you really like this and you want to learn more, A&G can help you with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because A&G is an educational outreach. That is our charter. It's to be an educational outreach. And okay, before we go any further with this discussion, let me just put out there that I absolutely love A&G. I'm a member of 5 or 6 A&G chapters. And I started an A&G chapter when I lived in Conway because I love A&G so much and I wanted to have an A&G group that I could go to. And so I don't want anyone to construe what I'm going to say as criticism of the organization. Okay. because I love ANG, I don't want it to go away. I want it to remain strong. I want it to remain active. And it just means that we're going to have to change some of the ways that we do things.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, see, and that, see, I have a warped perspective because I'm an ANG member too. And I'm a member of the Fox chapter, which is northwest of Chicago.
Oh, me too.
Yes, as are you, yes. And we have a, I mean, I handle the mailing list, so we have 127 yeah. or 30 yeah. members, and it's not unusual to have 40 or 50 and sometimes 60 people at a meeting. Yes. So I'm a part of a very strong, and I don't get to enough meetings these days, but I'm part of a very strong chapter, so I don't see what other chapters are doing.
Yeah.
But we have a very active program in addition to the monthly things, active weekend. You've done more than one class with us. And so I get kind of a warped perspective in that I'm part of a very active group. And so I see active needle pointing going on whenever I go to the meetings or get together with any of the members. And, but I don't think that's necessarily the case across the country.
No, it's not. And because I do talk to chapters all over, I meet all kinds of different people. And needle pointers are just like everyone else. You've got some that are really friendly and welcoming, and you've got others that aren't. And I hear repeatedly, oh, yeah, I went to the local chapter, but nobody talked to me. Nobody asked me what I was doing. They criticized what I was doing. And so I think one of the biggest drawbacks to membership is the members.
Yep. Well, and then out of that kind of thing starts to spring other ways to get together.
Exactly.
These stitch clubs, and I'm sure that there are other things we don't even know about where people just get together. I just want to stitch with like-minded people, and I don't need to be lectured, and I don't need to be criticized. I just want to enjoy the hobby.
And, exactly.
And
you know, for your listeners, ANG defines needlepoint as anything done with a threaded needle on a readily counted ground.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That includes cross-stitch. And so if someone comes to our ANG meeting and they're cross-stitching, I want to see what they're doing. Oh, I like that. Do you like working with those threads? I've not worked with those threads before. Just engage. I mean, it's not that difficult, and you don't need to go, well, that's not needlepoint.
Right.
Yes, it is. According to ANG, it is needlepoint.
Right.
Anything done with a threaded needle on a readily counted ground.
Right. Well, and we at the Fox chapter, in addition to me, we have several people who do different techniques, and in addition to needlepoint. But now that's an interesting thing, analogy with the Bible study. You got to go find where people are doing it and join them. I think that's good.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, you know, if I were, 30 something and I went to my local ANG meeting and everyone in there was decades older than me, I don't know that I'd be interested in going back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
And, you know, there are a lot of,
reality.
That's reality. That's just the way it is. And there's a lot of ANG members, chapters, who go, oh, well, we can't meet at night because I can't drive at night. Well, when in the heck do you think these young people are going to come to your meeting?
Right.
They're available at night. They're not available during the day. And if you want your chapter to grow, you have to be available when the potential membership is available.
Yeah. Well, see, that's my biggest concern is,
I mean, for pity's sake, have somebody else drive you. If you don't want to drive at night, that's fine. Have somebody else drive you.
Right. Well, invite a young person and have them drive you. Exactly. Yeah.
Exactly. There you go.
And that's my biggest concern, though, because when I look at the cross-stitch world, because it's readily available to me, a huge, huge amount of young people are involved through FlossTube and the internet in general, huge. And yet you don't see that with needlepoint. And there needs to be an effort made to bring young people into that end of the hobby because it's equally exciting. It's not like it's boring. I mean, these days,
oh,
it's,
no.
it's easily as exciting, in some cases more so, than cross stitch because of what you can do. And
exactly.
But boy, there's got to be ways to get these young people excited about it and exposed to it.
And you know, where are we going to find young people and expose them to needlepoint? Well, that would be social media.
Yep. Yep.
I mean, hello. Yeah. Both of my kids wanted to learn, you know, we wanted to learn how to do this, or I had a plumbing issue, I need to learn how to do that. They both go to YouTube.
Yep. Well, and that's where, I mean, young people who are raising families and, you know, soccer games and all those other things, that's the only way they have to connect in a lot of cases.
Right.
You know, I'm sitting at a soccer match and I can do some stitching, or I can go on Instagram and see what my fellow stitchers are doing. And then a meeting at night, man, I got to get the kids to bed. They got school tomorrow. We got to find those ways. There's got to be ways. And that was for me, the suggestion, bring a friend. Yeah, that's a thing to do, but I don't think that is going to change the game like it needs to be changed.
Well, no, I don't think so either. And that assumes two or three things. That assumes that there is a chapter that you can go to.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have one.
Right. Right.
That assumes that you know somebody else who stitches. I don't know anybody else who stitches where I live now.
Mm-hmm.
Not a single solitary soul. Okay?
Yep.
I've been making some connections with people who live in the state, and I've got plans after the new year and the holidays settle down to get together with another lady and her friend who live 4 hours from me. We're going to try to find a place where we can meet up and stitch together.
Two-hour drive for each, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, really, seriously, find a friend and bring them to a meeting. Okay, I don't have a meeting that I can go to, and I don't know anybody who stitches.
Yeah. Yep. No, it's. I don't think that's going to address the problem.
It's not. No. And so I think that A&G as an organization needs to be hammering into their chapters, we are an educational outreach. You must have a program at every meeting, because I've also been involved with some chapters that, we don't have any workshops. We don't have any programs because, well, we did that 2 years ago, or I've got an unfinished project like that, or, you know, we did that 3 years ago or whatever. That's not making any kind of an effort at all. And the chapters that are growing and that have active involved membership are having activities that they can do. They have a Fox chapter has a program every time they meet.
Oh, I think I think that's the biggest strength of Fox chapter, other than just a bunch of wonderful, talented ladies, is every year I've been a member, they have a very strong program.
Exactly.
There's something at every meeting other than the business part.
Yes.
And it's good stuff. It's quality activities.
Yeah.
It's not just something thrown together. These are quality activities. And then in addition, we'll have people like you and Curdy come and do workshops, pilot classes. Oh man, I tell you, I finally had to stop doing the activities because I couldn't keep up. I can't keep up. But look at the chapter size.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, you know, in my little chapter that I came from in Conway, where we had four active members, we had a program at every meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Every meeting we had a program.
Yeah.
And they're going to bring Tony Gertis in to teach a class, and it's really going to stretch them. We've had to save for 10 years to be able to bring in a teacher.
Uh-huh. Yep.
But we're going to do it. We're not, because nobody wants to be a part of something that's not doing anything.
Right.
I'm going to invest my time where people are working and doing and have something interesting to offer. I'm not going to be investing my time someplace where they're not doing anything. Why would I bother with that?
Right. No, that's very true. And that makes you grow. That makes you grow. And we had a a thing here back in the fall where one of our members was connected with a local hospice who had a program for orphaned kids. And you make hearts. You make needlepoint hearts.
Right.
And as part of the summer camp for these kids, each one went home with a heart that that was part of what they went home with, you know, a T-shirt and a whatever and a whatever, and then these beautiful needlepoint heart ornament things. So it was another thing, yet it helped the members because not only did they have to stitch it, but then they also had to finish it.
Right.
So that got them involved in something that people tend to shy away from, which is finishing. And I bet I could easily do a poll and find many of the ladies who were glad they went through that because they learned something about finishing. And, yeah. But the end result was a bunch of, you know, we had pictures at the next meeting of smiling kids who were holding up their heart ornaments. You know, they got something special from someone.
And
those kinds of things are not hard for any chapter to do.
No, they're not hard for any. And any chapter, no matter how small, can still come up with a program.
Right. Yeah. No,
I mean, if nothing else, do the Stitch of the Month.
Right.
I mean, good grief. You've got the Stitch of the Month that's available to members. So, yeah.
Well, yeah, that's just it.
I have really radical ideas that nobody in A&G really wants to hear. So.
Well, I think it needs to get discussed. I think it gets tiptoed around an awful lot. Because you're right, a Stitch of the Month, there's a program right there. You can do that program. We did that at Fox Chapter a couple of years ago. I did the whole project, and it ended up very nice. We had the Stitch of the Month going. We have Fox Chapter every year. We have a thing where you do a stitch, a block of the same stitch, whatever size it is, or you can do it within a project, and then that gets recorded, and you get a little trinket at the end of the year that says that you completed all of the stitches. And it doesn't cost you anything. You can do it on scrap fabric with scrap thread, but it's a way to learn new stitches and expand your horizons. And there, you know, there's a program that we do. And
well, you know, A&G has the chapter project book that's available to all of the chapters to use for programs. We've got projects in Needle Pointers magazine. Oh, by the way, I'll have a project in Needle Pointers this year.
Oh, good.
I just finished stitching it. And this one is unusual because I only used DMC floss.
Oh.
The whole thing.
Ooh. There you go.
No metallic.
Wow.
No ribbons, no, you know, nothing, just DMC floss.
That must have been an interesting challenge for you.
Well, it was, and there are a lot of different things you can do with floss, you know, depending upon if you're using multiple strands and laying it, or it for one of the stitches, I didn't strand it at all, but used it as it came from the skein.
Hmm.
And it gives it a different look.
Uh-huh. Oh, I'm anxious to see that one. Yeah. Well, see, that's the thing, and that makes it approachable for people.
Exactly.
You know, and that's also part of it. You know, sometimes I think that, and this is just a personal thing, but I look at painted canvases, and I know for a lot of people, the price of a painted canvas, and that price is justified. Go ahead and try painting one time and see if you don't want that kind of money.
Justified, but a lot of times they're out of reach.
Right. And it's a big turnoff, especially for young people who are, you know, got kids and soccer fees.
What do you mean you're going to take $500 of the family budget to stitch something? And that's not the threads? Are you kidding me?
Right.
Yeah. No, I get it. I completely get it.
But then I look at that, you know, and that's a turnoff. But then I look at all the charted canvas work you and all your colleagues do. That's much more approachable.
Yes.
Much more doable. That should, I think that needs to be promoted more as a way to do needlepoint without having to buy painted canvases. And then at some point you get a little windfall from a birthday or something and you want to try a painted canvas, you can do it. But charted designs, they're much more approachable because it's canvas, a chart, and thread. And I don't think that gets enough promotion. I really wish A&G would open up the website more to non-members. I say that without having thoroughly explored it, but when I go there, I have to log in as a member.
Right.
And
right.
I feel like that cuts off potential new members. I don't know if that's the general thinking or not, but that's my personal opinion that I just didn't like when they did that.
I was told by a board member that the reason why they did that was because members were complaining and saying that they did not see the benefit from being a member of A&G.
Well, Debbie, I'd have a hard time arguing against that.
I would too.
You know,
but I also am, you know, how can you hope to get new people if they can't access any of our materials?
Right. Exactly.
You know, one of the things that the article said was take your Needle Pointers magazine with you and leave it someplace. And people will see the projects and things like that and decide if they want to be involved or not. Well, my radical idea on that is just offer a subscription to Needle Pointers. Continue mm-hmm. to have it as a benefit for members, but make it available to non-members as well. And they will see all of the projects. They'll read all of the articles. They'll see what the chapters are doing, and that may spark an interest in them becoming a member of A&G. But a lot of times, you know, somebody will post a project on Needlepoint Nation or Facebook or whatever. Oh, where'd you get that chart? Well, it was in Needle Pointers, and you can't get it.
Yeah. And what message does that send right there?
And there's so many people that are ready to get their checkbook out right that minute to order a subscription to the magazine. Well, let them. Let's let them order a subscription to the magazine. Let them pay for it. I'm sure the advertisers and Needle Pointers would be more than happy to have more people reading the magazine.
Yeah, generally.
I mean, generally, as a general rule, if you're advertising somewhere, the more people who see it, the better you like it.
Yes, that's how it works.
So,
yes.
Yeah, my radical idea, one of my radical ideas, I've got others, but one of my radical ideas is just sell a subscription to the magazine.
Yep. Yeah. Now it's there needs to be some change. It really does, because it's the people are out there.
Exactly, and they're doing Needlepoint.
Yes. Yes.
They're doing Needlepoint, and yep. You know the old saying is, if you always do what you've always done, you'll always get what you already got.
Yeah.
And that's really true. I mean, so we've got to be approachable. And thinking of different ways to do things.
Yeah. Yeah, we really do. It concerns me. I mean, that of course, you live Needlepoint. Needlepoint was my first love. Lately, I've been doing a lot of cross-stitch just because that's where Fiber Talk has led me, and I'm having a lot of fun doing it. But, you know, we look at the Queen sampler that Vaughn and I are doing, and then now doing your design in July, getting back to some Needlepoint, and I'm looking forward to it. And actually had a Needlepoint project out the other day that was halfway done that I thought, I'm going to get after that thing, and because I tend to miss it. And because they're a lot of fun to do, and if people were exposed to it and exposed to what you can do with needle and thread beyond making X's, I think a lot more people would get more excited about it. But they got to be exposed to it. They got to see that it's approachable.
They've got to see it. Yeah, they've got to see it, and they've got to understand that, oh, you know, I could get into this project, and it's not going to cost me $500. Yeah, no, it's not going to.
Right. And I think that perception of Needlepoint is immediately that, oh, I got to buy a painted canvas and threads. Mm-hmm. And no, you don't.
No, you don't.
No, no. There are other options that will allow you to do the same kind of needlework in a different way, maybe in a way you enjoy, without buying that canvas. And then at some point, when you're able to pay for those canvases, you'll have some skills in your pocket, and you can tackle a painted canvas.
If you want.
If you want, yeah. Yeah. So.
I mean, I love painted canvases, and I love looking at them, but I have never had a desire to stitch one of them.
Yeah. They don't get me excited. I have a couple of them at home. I've mentioned more than once where,
you know, and I could admire the workmanship and the beauty and, you know, the effort and the talent that goes into it. It's just not for me. Just like I could admire people who do samplers, and that's not for me. Yep. It's just not anything I've been interested in. It doesn't appeal to my sense of what I want to be working on. But that doesn't mean that it's wrong for somebody else to do it. It just means that that's not my thing.
Right.
But if it's your thing, I'm thrilled. I'm happy for you.
Well, you know, and that's what's happened. Yeah, that's what's happened to me with reproduction samplers. I've gotten hooked on those things, and I'm having a blast working on them, and you know, the history behind them and what goes into them, and you know, I've just gotten sucked right into that. And yeah, it everybody has interests, but I also I'm a firm believer that you need to expand. You need to try other things. And, you know, some people, hey, I just want to cross stitch, or I just want to do basket weave. I don't care. I don't want to see anything else. I don't care. Okay, fine. But, I think for a lot of other people, try something else. But boy.
Well, you know, and I, especially people, and I hear this, I'm in a stitching slump. I'm just not interested.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
Now is the time to try something different. Try hard on her. Do some pulled thread, do some white work, Ukrainian white work, or, you know, ribbon embroidery. Do it, everything.
Yep.
Oh, you have to try a lot of different things to find the things that, yep, this really flipped the switch for me, or never want to do that again.
Yeah. Either way, it'll break your slump.
Either way, it'll break your slump and get you stitching again. And, you know, that's all. I really don't care what people are stitching on. I just hope that they're finding enjoyment from stitching.
Yep.
Because, you know, I derive a lot of pleasure from stitching. I haven't picked up a needle in about 2 weeks. And last night I was like, oh, I've got a stitch. I want to stitch. What can I stitch on? What do I have that I can stitch on? And I've got one thing that I can start working on, and that's it. And, you know, I've got proposals that are due and things that I need to be working on. It's just,
yeah,
it's been a couple of weeks. I'm ready to be stitching again.
Yep. Yeah. Well, that was candle wicking. Candle wicking. That's what it was.
Oh, yes, I remember.
Remember
candle
that?
Wicking.
That was a craze for a while. Oh,
yes,
I tried that. I got a beautiful piece. It was a seashells. It was a beautiful thing. And I was working on that, and I got, oh, I've got about like 10% of it done. I hate this. You know, I just hate this. I'm not doing this. And so, yeah, that went in the trash. Nope.
Yeah, don't do that anymore. It,
right.
It's like black work. I can admire black work, and there are a lot of people who are very artistic with it and achieve shading and things like that with just a single color thread. And I admire that tremendously. Don't want to stitch that.
All right. Not your deal. Yeah.
Not my deal.
Yeah. Well, yeah, of course, we're running out of time here, but I just think it's something that needs to be talked about, and not just between you and me, between a lot of people, in the context of what can be done to make needlepoint more visible, more approachable. And like you said, go to, you know, there's people doing it. A&G needs to go where the people are. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
That, you know, just my harebrained idea. It's. It's like church membership is declining because we're expecting people to come to church on Sunday morning. Well, that may not suit their needs.
Yeah, exactly.
And our job as Christians is not to say, well, we all come and join us, but it's for us to go join them.
Yep. Find them, expose them. Yeah.
Find them, love them.
Yep.
Meet their needs.
Yep. All right. Good. I'm glad we could talk about that. That was good. All right. That's going to be it.
Okay.
So download the Sassy Jacks Aussie Friends thing, stitch it, post it, make Kim send money. That's what we're doing there. That's how we're doing it. We're making Kim send money. How's that?
Yes. There we go. Yes. We're going to help Australia.
Right.
We're going to help them out.
Through Kim's pocketbook. That's how we're doing it.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Glendon Place, get your order in for Witch. The Witch design, got to get that in by Monday. Debbie, always a treat. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for listening to me ramble on.
Not a problem. Enjoyed it. Thanks.